We come to this simple little story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. A story again that no doubt we could repeat, having learned it at school, taught by our teachers or Sunday school or whatever. But as we view this story, the purpose of God through the Holy Spirit is to teach us something simply more than a little story. Oftentimes, as we approach this particular passage of Scripture, we are inclined to think of a man who was rich. And this man was so rich and the condemnation was upon him because he was rich. But that's not the case. You see, it's not riches that causes the problem. It's the love of riches. We might have been given a business mind, and God takes that business mind, and on the farm or in the business, professionally, God richly blesses you. And people might say, well, why do they have all this? But you know, if you're a Christian and God blesses you, that's needed. Because it's through such people that God can enhance his work. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, when I was playing in a little gospel group, we used to go to various places, churches, etc. And on one occasion, we went to this particular venue. And when we arrived, we discovered that we had forgotten a lead. A main lead. So this particular gentleman turned and he said to us, he said, I'll tell you what. There's the keys of my car. Go to my house in a certain place. You'll get a lead, and that will help you out. So the chap in the group who was playing guitar, he went to the door of the venue, and he wasn't sure what car this particular man drove. So he said to the gentleman at the door, can you tell me Mr. So-and-so's car? Oh, he said, it's that purple Rolls Royce. So here, the guy went in the Rolls Royce, collected the lead, first time he had ever driven or been in a Rolls Royce, might I tell you, and brought it back. That man would be known to you if I told you his name, but I'm not. He was mega rich. He invited us back to his home for tea, and he said, now guys, you've been busy tonight. Just loosen your tie, take off your coat, take off your shoes, put your feet up and enjoy yourselves. You see, God had blessed him, and he in turn was blessing others. It's not the riches that's the problem. It's the love of riches. But when we come to this story, we find that Jesus is entering Jericho. In fact, the Bible says in that first verse, he was passing through. Now, let me say this morning that Jesus is passing through first the Hochul Church. In the divine and sovereign plan of God, God deigned that you would have a church up the road. Eventually, in the sovereign plan of God, you would build your new church. And he is here to bless that church. He is here to speak to men and women in this church that on this date, the 16th of July, 2017, the sovereign plan of God is this, that he is speaking to all of us in this church. And as we read this story, we find that as Jesus is passing through, there is one individual named. As I said to the children this morning, each little boy and girl is precious. Oh yes, you know what they're like when they're growing up, don't you? Sometimes as grandparents we say, we love to see them coming, but we love to see them going home. But we love them, don't we? Because God made them, and they're special. And folks in the church this morning, you're special. You're special to Jesus Christ. Maybe for years you have been pushing Jesus to the side. It could be this morning that as I speak to you, God has spoken for years and years and years to you as an individual, and yet this morning you keep turning him away. See, the first point is this. This man was loaded, but lost. Yes, he was loaded because the scriptures tell us he was a chief collector, tax collector. I don't know about you. I hope there's no tax men here, but I don't like them. Take too much office, don't they? This guy was a chief tax collector, and he was certainly rich because he extorted from the people money. You see, round the area, one of the things that they would be trading in was balsam. You might say, James, what's balsam? Well, you ladies should know because there's probably balsam in your perfume. It's a sweet-smelling oil or substance. So here's this man. He was loaded, but he was lost. You say to me this morning, but James, that doesn't affect me. Folks, you're loaded. You're loaded with many good things. Oh yes, in all of our lives we can look back and there are moments in our lives, there are times in our lives when we wonder and we say, where are you, God? There are folks this morning that I could take you to and they're saying, Lord, where are you in my life? Look what I'm suffering. Look, Lord, what I've been through. Look at the problems of my family. Lord, where are you? But listen, isn't it true this morning that we're loaded with the benefits and the blessings of God? It was said by someone that there are people who can travel the world and see nothing, but there's people who walk around the block and see everything. And you know, we're loaded with so much. We've been given so much. And yet you could be like Zacchaeus this morning. You're lost. It's a terrible thing to be lost, isn't it? A terrible thing when something happens, maybe during the dark, and we're lost, traveling somewhere. But you know what's worse spiritually when you're lost? You know, we're living in a day and age when you look at the media, when you listen to those of the humanist society who tell us there's no God. When you look at people today and they're saying, look, just live for life, but not for eternity. See, the first thing is this in the church this morning. Do you believe the Bible? You say, yes, I'm here. I believe the Bible. Well, then if you believe the Bible, you believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says we have sinned. So how do we get rid of that sin? Jesus came from the realms of glory. He died on Calvary's cross. And by coming to him, we get rid of our sin. Are you lost this morning? If Jesus were to come to your house, what would happen? I remember years ago getting the little leaflet from CEF many years ago, and there was this poem on the little leaflet. If Jesus came to your house, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched and ask him in? And the poem went on and saying, would you put away, would you bring out your lovely china? Would you dress yourself? Would you shove away the papers that you read? What would you do if Jesus came to your house? What will you do this morning if Jesus were to call you from the scene of time today? Are you lost? Are you in need of the Savior? But you know, the scriptures tell us about this man, as we have read the story, that he was small in stature and he couldn't see what was happening. You can imagine the crowds as they would throng along the road of Galilee. As I understand it, the sycamore tree had wide branches, there were short trunks, but this would have covered the road and the people would have been thronging round the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says that this man called Zacchaeus, he climbed the sycamore tree to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, this is the last person, apart from the thief on the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to, and that person came to know the Savior. This man was looking, loaded but lost, but he was looking, but he was lacking. You see, he climbed that sycamore tree to see Jesus. The crowd was about, but he couldn't see anything because they were crowding him. Maybe this morning, sitting in the church, you're looking. You've come to church and you're looking for something. You don't find it even in these lovely praises that we've been singing to the glory of His name. You don't find it as you sit in church this morning, but you're looking for something. You're dissatisfied with your life. And as you look, you're lacking. You're lacking that salvation. You're lacking that meeting with Jesus. You're like Zacchaeus. Oh, yes, it might be that you're hid in the crowd this morning. You're hid in First to Huckle. Nobody knows the longing of your heart. Nobody can see into your heart. But Jesus can. And the Lord Jesus Christ can see your life. Some years ago, there was this couple. The man had a rough childhood. Granny had brought him up. No money, no nothing. Get into trouble. He lived a wild life. Then he met a young woman. This young woman worked in a factory in Belfast. And this young woman worked with Christians who were faithful in talking about Jesus. And they told this lady about the Savior, and eventually she got saved. She came to the Lord. And she came back home to her husband. And you know, that girl witnessed for Jesus. She had a smile on her face. No matter what her husband done, no matter how many times he was drunk, she still smiled. And then she said to him one day, she said, "Listen, I'm only asking you for one thing. Will you come to church with me?" And after some time, the Holy Spirit began to work. And he said, "I will." And it was a church like your church where the gospel was being preached. A church like your church where the offer was made. And he went to the church. And the first thing that he saw was this crowd going. And he thought he could go into an empty church and sit at the back. But the crowds were peeling into this church. As he approached the door, he said to his wife, "Oh, not at all. I'm not going into that bunch. Good living, 4-11, no way." This big man, I knew him. I knew the man. He worked in a meal firm in Belfast, and he had hands on him with like a navvy shovel. And he just laid his hands on him and says, "Friend, come in. I'll get you a seat." And where did he take him? Right to the front seat. As the minister began to preach, that man came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And before he left that church, God saved him. God saved him. I'll tell you what a difference in his life it made. You see, he was looking. He was looking for something in life, but he was lacking. You know, my dear friend, what are you looking for? Jesus was passing that way. Jesus is passing this way today in this church. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. He wants to change you. And that's why that we can say hallelujah to God. Not often you hear hallelujah in a Presbyterian church, sure it's not. Well, I was taking a big church service in Belfast, and I was speaking, and this lady in the congregation shouted, "Hallelujah!" Well, everybody looked around the choir, thought her head was cut. You would have thought there was a fire in the church. And as she came out, I spoke to this lady, she was a missionary. I said, "Was God blessing your soul today, sister?" She said, "He was." You see, friends, when Jesus Christ comes in, we're not lacking. We're given something that we might enjoy. Zacchaeus was loaded, but lost. He was looking, but lacking. But he was lurking, but yet he was longing. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ came. What did Jesus do? Here's what Jesus did. The scriptures tell us. He looked up and said, you know what my prayer is this morning? That Jesus will look at you directly. That you will get a vision of my Savior this morning. That Savior of mine and many in this congregation that I know. That Savior who died on Calvary's cross. That Savior who can show you the nail prints in his hands. That Savior who bore the crown of thorns upon his head. That Savior that the spear was cast into his side and outflowed blood and water, the sign of a broken heart. That Savior that's here this morning. And that Savior who called you. I pray this morning that you will see this Savior. You'll not see me. You might not even remember what I say, but you look on the face of Jesus. There are loved ones in the glory whose dear forms we often miss. But I wonder this morning, will you come to him? Lurking and longing. What does the Bible say? So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. You see, this was the power of the Savior. This is what we believe in our Presbyterian church. It's not coercion. It's not a case of bringing you and as it were, winding you up and emotionally trying to get you to trust Christ. Not at all. This is the work of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not the work of the minister or preacher. This is God who does that work. And when God does that work in your soul, then you're like Zacchaeus, who came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Is he speaking to you this morning? Is God by his Holy Spirit saying to you this morning, now what are you going to do about it? Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Be in time. Friends, I've often said this. When I was a boys' brigade officer, I had a lad in my boys' brigade company at home. Sadly, he was coming from Ballymena to Larne and was killed in an accident. Police sergeant said, he said, the screams of that young fellow, he said, were awful. That troubled me. That troubled me. And I vowed until the day I died that I would never weaken the gospel message. I would make it clear to men, to women, to boys and girls that Jesus Christ is calling. So he came down and he welcomed him gladly. Will you welcome the Savior this morning into your heart? Will you forget about yourself this morning? Maybe some of your mummies and daddies or grannies and granders and their wee children. Will you be able to point them to the Lord? Are they depending on you this morning? But you know, there's something else about this man. Loaded but lost, looking but lacking, lurking but longing. He was lofty, but he was liberated. Lofty man, he wasn't like folks. He wasn't liked at all because of the position that he was in. It was the commentators tell us that these guys certainly were the lowest so far as the people were concerned because of the way they collected the money. But here's a man. The Bible says that he stood up and he said to the Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. You see, what he was doing was reiterating what it says in Exodus 22:1. The restitution that he was paying back was the restitution that he paid in case of theft. But he witnessed that Christ had made a difference. You know, folks, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, you've got to take your stand. You've got to witness for the Lord. Young people, you've got to witness when you go into university. I know that it's not easy. I know what the pressures that you're under. I know that when we young people go into school, the pressures that are there, and we have that responsibility to pray for them. But listen, if you witness for Jesus, he'll never let you down. I remember starting a solicitor's office in Belfast, learning the ropes. And I might as well have been in Chicago and New York as being in Belfast, because I hadn't traveled much. And the guy who was teaching me the ropes, we were going to a certain place, and he said, "Now I'm going to the Five Flies." He said, "Are you coming with me?" That was a pub. I took my stand for Jesus. And I simply said to him, "No, I'm not, because I'm a Christian." Now, folks, I had to make my way back to the office. You might think this is stupid. But for me, that was a major thing. Young fellow from the country going to Belfast. But God gave the grace. God will give you the grace this morning, folks. We can be full of our own importance. Are you so lofty this morning? Are you so full of your own high-mindedness? Are you this morning thinking, who does he think he's talking to when he's talking to me? Who does he think he's... I'm not speaking to you, folks, in the spiritual sense. It's Jesus who's speaking to you this morning. It's the Holy Spirit, that precious gift that God has given, that precious one this morning. He is speaking to you this morning. But so often it's our loftiness. That little piece, I love it. But challenged. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given Christ more of my life than I'd ever given before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given Christ more. I have stood at the feet of lofty people. Couldn't care less about the Savior. Life has been good to them. They have plenty of money and plenty of all of this world's goods, but they haven't the Savior. But I wonder, do you need to be liberated this morning? Do you need the Savior? It says, you see, that he gave half of those goods, but if he cheated anyone, he was going to give back four times the amount. Jesus calls his own sheep this morning. The last thought is this, that I want to speak to you is this. He was lumbered, but he was loosed. You see, verse 10 tells us he was a son of Abraham. Now, he not only descended from Abraham, but he was animated by the faith that Abraham had. And when you go back to the Old Testament, you read about the tremendous faith that Abraham had. This is what this man got. And Jesus said to him, "Today has salvation come to your house." Today. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us this morning, and it's immediate. It's not something that you think about or whatever, or it's worked out. It's immediate when you come to Christ. Today has salvation come to your house. You will be rejoicing if you give your life to Christ today. You will be transformed today. He wants to touch you today. Lumbered, but loosed. Friend, you're carrying a load. If you're not a Christian, you're carrying the load of sin. You're lumbered with that load. But you know that lovely hymn, Charles Wesley's, "My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth and followed thee." It was real. Wesley put it in the words of that lovely hymn. But you know, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You're lost this morning without Christ. He came to save you. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to come into your life to transform, change you, to make you his child, a child of God. I wonder, will you bow your head? Will you ask him into your life? Will you come to him today before you leave First Ahachal? That's the thrill of it all this morning. That Jesus changes lives. I was just a young Christian, and across the road from where I lived at home was an old man, Johnny. Johnny was Church of Ireland, but a dear old Christian. He was dying. And I suppose foolishly in one sense, and yet as best I could as a young Christian, I went along and I said, "Johnny, I'd love to read with you and pray." He said, "Son, will you do it?" So I just simply read the 23rd Psalm. As I looked up, the tears were streaming down his face. "James," he said, "I know the shepherd, and I'm going to him." Tell me, if God called you now, do you know him? With all that you've got, with all of the blessings, the very fact that you've heard this message again and again from the men who are here, and yet this morning, you're still outside of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, as we come to you again in the closing moments of this service, we recognize, Lord, the work is thine and thine alone. We cannot cause an anxious thought this morning. Much as we would love to see every person in this church born again, coming to know the Lord Jesus, we recognize, Lord, it is your work. And so, our Father, we pray just now that, gracious Holy Spirit, you will speak to those whom you choose to be saved this morning. Before this day goes into eternity, may the people rejoice in souls coming to know the Savior and God's people being blessed. We ask it in and through your name, and for your sake. Amen.